This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to ECHO. This is where today's focus is, Global ECHO, 6 women, one conversation. And I am Neerja Ganesh, joining from India as your moderator. With me are women from the United States and India, ranging from ages 23 to 77. And each one is excited to share empowering stories and insights from their life experiences. Here we come together to compare our paths and the trials we have all overcome to find and to be able to express our own unique individual voice. Now, on the global stage, we create a platform to echo deep communication, hope, opportunity, celebration, and sisterhood. It is now my pleasure to introduce our participants, starting with a little bit about me, Neerja Ganesh. I'm a leadership development facilitator, a mentor, and speaker. My journey has taken me from decades in the information technology industry to dedicated my voice to empowering women, helping them rise, not by fitting into molds, but by embracing their authentic selves. Let me introduce Lisa Jones, a TV host, speaker, author, and a humorist, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of humor today from her, who believes play isn't just for recess. It is a secret fuel for creativity, collaboration, and communication. As the creator of the Thrive Through Play framework, she proves that play isn't fluff. It is a strategy for growth and connection. With a signature mix of insight and humor, Lisa inspires people to communicate with clarity, confidence, and a little more fun. Next, let me introduce Debbie Wimberly, your health disruptor. In her own words, she says, "I have lived through the gaps of a broken health system, and I don't do boring, outdated health models. I'm on a mission to change the way we think about healing by educating on how to unlock your body's hidden superpower, the endocannabinoid system. When you learn how to tap into it, you stop settling for broken health models and start building your best life. One where you feel in control, empowered, and free to thrive. Next comes Amy. Amy Vishals, a lifelong learner and educator who brings many decades of educational experiences to the table. Her main message is that empathy is the key to our survival, and we must get to know the person sitting next to us in order to grow and thrive. Now let me introduce our youngest voice today, Sneha Ganesh. Passionate about all things data and technology, a writer, a public speaker, and a career resource and soft skill trainer. Someone who owns her thoughts and actions in the space of women in the workplace. And she also is my daughter. Next up is Shreya Krishnan, a champion of inclusion and diversity. And hence, her day job is as managing director, AnitaB.org India. A former Mrs. India World 2017 and Miss Universal Empowerment 2024. She is an author and has many other facets to her personality, which we will come to know as we have our conversations today. A powerful speaker across global platforms. And the last, but not the least, on the panel is Dr. Samajna Javalekar, and we will call her Sam today. A dentist by profession, an entrepreneur, and passionate advocate for women discovering and embracing their own voice. As the founder of Uru Dental Clinic in Bangalore, India, she has built more than a dental practice. She has built a space defined by care, confidence, and clarity of purpose. Wow, I'm looking forward to this conversation. And the first question that I have for today is, let's look at how our inner journeys have shaped the way we communicate and we use our voice. And let me go first, and then I will let the others speak about this. So I wanted to go first because I wanted to start by saying that I was a meek, timid, shy girl for the first 30 years of my life. So yes, I've crossed 50 now. So the first 30 years of my life was spent as a meek, timid, shy girl, which also included the first 10 years of my technology corporate career. But an opportunity to lead a team, which consisted of about 10 of my peers, a team that was undergoing immense transition and transformation, and the organization was also going through huge transformation, made me realize that in this role as a team lead, I needed to own my voice and use it to ensure I deliver my responsibilities as expected. Well, I not only delivered as expected, but went way beyond, which was seen in the way the organization made some profound changes in the way they were operating because I spoke about it. Our stakeholders started treating us with more respect, and my team started looking up at me as that leader who they were longing to have for many months before I came on board. And that was an inner shift which has ensured that I don't ever keep quiet now. So let us now hear from the others, starting with Debbie.
Hi. My inner journey really started from a very young age with a lot of health issues. And my parents coined the phrase, "You're a Macmillan," based on my grandmother's maiden name, because she never felt it fit into the normal health system like everybody else did. And so no matter when I went to a doctor's appointment, they would always say, "You're not normal." And so I took that always as a curious clue and allowed me to go understand that I was unique. So I was built on that stance from a very young child. Being taught that at such a young age is something that I hope that I can share with other women, that they were made to be unique and individual. And that has given me the voice that carries me through to here today, still working on health issues and trying to educate and share the knowledge that I have about that. You have an inner compass that guides you. And when you tap into it, it changes everything that you do.
Thank you, Debbie. Let me now ask Sneha. go all across from the United States to India, from, a more senior professional to the youngest here?
All right, thank you for that question. And I think, when I have to think about inner voice, the first thing that I always associate this with has been the idea that while growing up, I always realized that I was weird. I just didn't fit into what anybody else around me would do. Most kids around me would do things differently. And I was always concerned if that's a good thing or not, because I mean, it's not nice to be called abnormal and weird and not okay. So I was like, is that okay? Is that not all right? I was always confused. But I think as I grew up, one of the biggest things that I've come to embrace is this abnormality. To me, the idea of being different to everybody else is something I'm hugely proud of. So my friends, if you ask any of them, they'll tell you I'm a golden retriever. I'm this jumpy, happy kid with excessive amounts of energy and wildly ambitious and very strong about things that I care deeply about. And the journey of having recognized this bit of me and to have accepted that it's okay to not fit into what everybody else thinks is normal, to be different to people your age, be different to people with your experience level, is completely okay. And people look up to you for the value that you bring to the table and not because you are like every other 23-year-old out there. I think that's really important. And that journey of finding this voice of mine and owning it with so much joy and confidence, that's what I love.
Yes. Let me pass this to Amy now.
Well, my inner journey started also as a child in my family circumstances, because I was the younger sibling to a sister who was born with Down syndrome. So when I saw my sister was different and had different capabilities, and yet she didn't to me, because we were kind of on a level ground of being siblings, and we were little. But as she grew, I realized that my inner voice was always a soundtrack of gratitude. I sensed I could do things a little more easily. And as we grew, I thought to myself, I'm going to be able to drive a car and Joycey isn't. And I may get married one day and Joycey won't. So that soundtrack of gratitude created, I didn't know the word for it then, but created an aura of empathy in my life, that I could put myself in my sister's shoes. I could know that I wanted to make a difference in the world and become a teacher, because I was her teacher naturally from birth almost. And with that inner voice, it gave me a quiet power that I started to recognize as I grew older, and for that wonderful grounding in my life. So the inner voice of gratitude and empathy have been my forte.
Thank you for that, Amy. And I'm seeing that from each of our responses, the inner voice has started long, long ago for most of us, right? As a child. Let's hear from Lisa.
Yes. So for me, mine, because I've been playing games ever since I was little, but mine's been more like climbing a mountain and then kind of like unlocking levels in a video game. And at first, I felt like when I was younger, I was stuck in this tutorial level. I was following all these rules. I was trying to say the right thing. But then the more I leaned into play, the more I discovered that my true voice isn't about perfection. It's really about presence. So now I treat communication like a co-op game, right? I bring my full, messy, playful self, and I invite others to play along. And the interesting thing that Sneha said was, and I kind of resonated with what you were saying, Sneha, and the fact that you were saying weird. And I remember when I was around your age, like this is dating myself a long, long time ago when I was Sneha's age, I overheard this conversation. And Sneha, this is also back when we had phones, you know, the dial. I don't know if your mom showed you what they look like, but the old phones. And you could hear, like if you picked up one phone, it was at a work environment, you could hear somebody on the other phone in a different room. And I heard this guy that I worked with not inviting me to like an outing after work because he thought I was weird. So at the time, I was like, oh, that's a I don't like these labels that we attach ourselves to. And then later on, like decade later, I'm like, you know what? I like being weird. Weird is cool. Weird is fun. Weird is playful. Weird is messy. So thank you for calling me weird guy from 20 years ago. Anyway, thank you, Nirja.
Okay, so we have weird into two or weird twice here. But I'm sure all of us have a quirky weirdness, right? Let's go on to Shreya.
So, I remember growing up in a home environment where we were all women. My grandmom had four daughters, and they had four more daughters, and my brother was the only boy in two generations. And I come from a matriarchal lineage family where women are all alpha, right? So I grew up in an environment where it was never about gender. Like, we didn't know what to do with my brother because he was a boy, right? So we grew up where it was about capacity. I was good at fixing things, so I'd be up on the antenna fixing the TV, I'd be fixing the fridge. So my mom always hoped I'd be an engineer and tinker with all these electrical things, but that never happened. Having said that, I also grew up a tomboy. I dressed in, or the version of what they called one. I dressed in oversized clothes. I had two braids. I had big fat soda glasses. Even today, my school friends call me soda, right? They used to tease me. Back in the day, there was not a lot of sensitization. So my gender was always questioned, like, are you one of the boys? Are you, in between? There were all of these. So I grew up in an environment like that. And I was as confident as I am today, sitting like this, back in the day as well. And I remember my teachers calling me overconfident. That's because they had an idea of what somebody should look like if they were to be so confident. And till today, that has stayed with me. And I think my life's work and my life's purpose is to remove those labels and really remind people of the immense potential that they each have, irrespective of of how they look, their gender, whatever it may be.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And I think that's what's informed me in so many ways.
Shreya, when you said that, right, about how the family looks at, I have to say, as recent as last month in July, I traveled to Mumbai on an official visit, and I went to meet my uncle, who's more than, kind of 80 plus today. He asked me, "How did you become so confident? Almost like you've done something wrong in life." Because for the first 30 years, I was what I was, right? Anyway, that was the way, I was greeted. But anyway, let's hear from Dr. Sam now.
Hi everyone. So that means you can make that weird into three because I think I'll come into that clan as well. So basically, like you all, my inner journey has been constant since my childhood. There is a very vivid memory I have of standing in the assembly lines reciting the prayer, and like a naughty child, I was not reciting the prayer. I remember standing in that line and thinking, there is a world of mine going on in my head. And there are hundreds of students here. There is a world of their own which is going on in theirs. So I came back home and I told my dad about this. And my dad helped me give it a word. It was perspective. And then he told me that if you understand this, then it is unfair if you get offended at anyone, because your lack of processing is when you get offended. So I think how it shaped my communication, I try to put myself in people's shoes. It also helps me a lot professionally, because being a dentist, I deal with a lot of anxious people. Like, I hate the dentist is a common line we hear from most people who sit on my chair. But understanding where they come from, you know, and helping them get over either a bad experience in their head or a bad experience that they've faced in the past is something that I can do because of that realization. Of course, happiness, yes. But I think the value of perspective and trying to, you know, put others' perspectives could be what you could say that I would use my voice for.
Wow. I think let's stop calling ourselves weird and call ourselves as having a different perspective. Thank you for that, Dr. Sam. Let me move to the next question. And that's about, so we all spoke about childhood and how that's kind of shaped us, you know, either early on or as we have grown in our life. But then let me come to know our different life stages. And we have, you know, different number of years that we've lived on this planet. At different life stages, our relationship with our voice shifts. I believe so. How has your confidence or clarity changed over time? And this time, let me start with Sneha. Yes, 23 years is also a lot of time spent on this planet. So how has your confidence or clarity changed in these years?
Yeah, oh my God, 23 is a lot of time. Like the ones who've done 70 and 75, I am so proud. But... So I think coming to confidence and clarity, I do remember that very early on when I was in school, I was not this confident. I always knew inside me that I was social, I was extroverted, I loved talking, I had a voice of my own that I wanted people to hear. But I didn't always have it in me to put it out there because I was constantly afraid of people's judgments, of people's opinions, of people's viewpoints. And it did take a lot of time to be okay with the idea that not everyone's going to align with what you're saying. But I mean, if I'm going to go up, especially as a public speaker, if I'm going to go up on stage, if I'm going to be training somebody, the worst is someone's going to throw a tomato at me and I can dodge that tomato. It is okay. Nothing worse than that can happen. But the fact that I'm going to be up on that stage is solely because I have it in me to share something with the crowd out there, which they want to hear. I know something that they don't know yet, which they're there to listen to. And I think that is something that's come with time for me to align myself to the idea that there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like what you're doing. And I think that's cool because it's impossible to please everybody. And you should not try to please everybody because the moment you start doing that, you start losing out on who you are. So for me, the way I think I've seen communication and confidence change with time is an acceptance of who I am, is an acceptance of the value and the skill set that I bring, and an acceptance of the idea that the people across from there, they will take whatever they want to take, and they don't have to take everything that you're giving them. So you know that you're doing your best, and the rest of them there will take whatever is the best they can take from what you have to give.
Fantastic. What's the worst that can happen, right? That's the mantra that we all live by. So cool. Lisa, would you like to tell us about how your different life stages have shaped this?
Well, I'd like to first say that Sneha, you are wise beyond your years, because in my 20s, which where you are right now, my voice was like one of those, like, let's just describe it as a glitchy character that was like coming in and out. And I was like trying way too hard to fit a script. That really wasn't me. And then literally 20 years later, by my 40s, I realized that the cheat code is authenticity. And that's why now my voice isn't about volume or polish. It's really about humor and connection. And confidence really means that I don't have to win the conversation, kind of like what you're saying. I just have to stay in the game. I have to keep playing, right? And I have to trust that the laughter and the honesty are really the best power-ups for me. So yeah, no more glitchy. I just do me, weird and all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The callback to weird.
Let's move on to Shreya.
So I think the confidence piece is connected to the future of clarity, right? So when I was growing up, I was always wondering what about me made people uncomfortable or they didn't like. And because these complaints would come back home to my mom saying, oh, she's too overconfident and she talks through her hat. But I think Slowly, when I started growing, I realized that my thick skin saved me so much of the grief. I never internalized any of it. And it's a reminder of how easy it is when you shut down a voice that you don't resonate with. You protect yourself from trauma. And I think that's what I had done unconsciously because I just would hear it from one ear and let go from the other. And then when I did, become the person I am today, I recognized that that was just confidence. And they had an idea of what confidence should look like, and that didn't fit their idea. And that's why I was ostracized. It was not me, it was the way they perceived the world. And I don't blame them because that was their understanding of the world. But I think not getting so deeply invested in somebody's opinion of you also helps you really deal with people who don't treat you well very easily because you forgive them very easily because you're like, they don't know better, right? So when I look back, I think the clarity, the confidence, and everything that I have today is as same as that 16-year-old girl with really skinny, with big specs, and wearing really crazy clothes with no context of what it meant. Because I was still authentic. And Lisa, I love what you said about authenticity. And I think that's the magic. Even today, I'm exactly that girl. I may be draped in something else, but I have the power, the strength, the joy, and the simplicity of who she was. And I hold on to it. And I think that is what adds to my clarity and my confidence that I'll never let go of that girl because she was herself despite what the world expected her to be.
Absolutely, and we have seen that at the Grace Hopper meetups where we think it's such a formal conference, and suddenly Shreya will play some jarring music and say, "Let's dance." Yeah, and that entire floor is dancing, which is supposed to be a technologist conference. That's Shreya. But let me pick on this thick-skinned one, and let me just address this question from my own perspective. So I mentor so many women, right? And just last month, I got a new mentee who comes from this automobile industry, and it's hugely male-dominated. In fact, she is the only woman leader, senior, in this room full of men. And she says that her boss is so patriarchal, and he is very toxic. And it's not only with women, with men too. So you can imagine how he will be with the woman. And the first meeting that she came on board, it was a virtual meeting like this, and she cried and she cried and she cried. And she said, "Nirja, I don't even know why I'm crying and how this is coming out because we have not known each other from the past. Somebody kind of just associated us as a mentor mentee." And she, of course, told me the whole thing, and I guided her. And the next meeting, she told me, "Nirja, I built a thick skin. Thank you." Right? So, that is what I think I have been able to do over the years because I've realized that it is a mindset game. You can tell people and women and men and everyone, do this, do this, do this, or do this differently, but it doesn't shift unless and until it shifts in their mindset. As simple as, I'm running a 7-day LinkedIn writing mindset challenge, and I've called it mindset challenge because it is not about content, it is not about English, it's not about grammar, it's not about subject. You are good in all of that. But it is about, should I write? Should I let people hear what I want to say? Should I use my voice? And why will people hear me when there are so many others? Will they judge me? And all I wanted to do through these 7 days was to bring in a shift in their mindset to say, yes, our voice matters. So I think that is what has shifted, for me from, all these years and, the many years of tech leadership roles and the many years of mentoring and coaching that I have done. Amy, let me hear from you on this.
For me, choosing activities that nurtured my soul and my abilities was the key to confidence and to the security that I had. Starting even in high school, where I was on the school newspaper, I became editor-in-chief, and I was always striving to hear the voices of my peers and to cultivate my own on so many different subjects and issues, whether seniors should be exempt from final exams, whatever it was. We were young politicians without even knowing it, but in a very good sense. We were exercising our rights, we were heard, We collaborated, we networked, and I feel so strongly that finding journalism and for others, being able to journal, being able to express ourselves in different forms, debate clubs, whatever it is, it led to my becoming a journalism and English teacher. And then the pattern was to help my students discover their voices and their interests and their opinions. And that led, I started in the high school class at 22 myself. So I was half baked and I was evolving. So I grew up with them. I found my voice with them. And now I'm so excited, you know, to say that the confidence and clarity have only strengthened over the years. And this afternoon, I'll be facilitating a discussion group of adults called ECHO, Men and Women, Empowering Conversations of Hope and Opportunity. And we're going to meet for an hour and a half. We gather, we network every other week. And we're going to talk about things that matter in a safe place where we're seen, heard, and valued. And I'm so grateful and thriving on these continued opportunities. I gain confidence every day. And I try for the people who are quiet, I say, come, and even if you listen, you'll empower us. And eventually they're going to lead a discussion on their own and find their voice.
Absolutely. So, so powerful. And as I moved to Dr. Sam, you know, the, one of the reasons that I felt very strongly that Dr. Sam should be part of this panel, and I decided it, you may not know about it, but I decided it on the day when I, you know, I was going to Dr. Sam for my mother. You know, my mother was getting all her teeth removed and getting a, you know, set of dentures. But during that 6 month treatment, one of the days I had a problem with my tooth. So I sat on her chair and she spoke so much about, you know, women and women owning her, their voices. And I said, one day I'm going to invite Dr. Sam to be on a panel. And that's why she's here. So let's hear from Dr. Sam.
Thank you for remembering when I was chatting, Nidra, because I'm chatting a lot. To address the question, I think the first decade of my life was about finding a voice and about echoing someone else's voice, because that is how I felt I would be loved. The second decade of my life was fighting because I felt that I would only be loved if I echoed that voice. And the third decade of my life was about realizing that I'd be loved anyway. The only way I can love myself is echoing my own voice. So I feel like confidence and clarity come mutually together. Realizing that having confidence, getting the clarity that having confidence was the only way I could own up to who I was and live a happy life, because I think that is the ultimate goal any person should have. That it has had ebbs and flows. But coming to a conclusion that only owning your voice will give me happiness is how my clarity has changed over time.
Fantastic. I'm so glad it came in the third decade and it didn't wait for, you know, further. Thank you so much. Debbie, let's hear from you.
Thank you for that. For me, this was a really interesting question that was asked, because confidence is something that as a kid, my parents always made us think about what will other people think. And so I grew up wondering and worrying about that with everything that I did. So I didn't have really confidence. But then they gave me confidence by always telling me I was a Macmillan and it was okay to be different or weird, as we have said here. And then I realized as life goes on and we experience different things, our confidence shifts. And I sit here now finding that I have more confidence in myself and my voice, but I don't have a lot of confidence in communicating with the medical community, because doctors are often on very tight schedules. And when your body dances to a little different tune, and it can leave you feeling invisible. And so it's really important to understand that life challenges are what bring us some confidence sometimes. And it's those life challenges that we need to look back on and learn from, because it was this question that made me look back at when I was younger and how I worried about what everybody thought. I really don't care what anybody else thinks now. I love who I am. I like what I do. I stand for what I am. So I think that when you can build that confidence, so if you don't have quite the confidence you want today, I think that you will build it as long as you're true to yourself. And as long as you do that inner work to look at who you are and who you want to be. And that means that you need to establish that you're in charge for yourself. Don't let someone else be in charge. So confidence will come and go in different ways and in different fashions. And the beauty of this confidence has given me the ability to go create the Effective Cannabis Newsletter, where I take this voice and everything that I've learned to work with other experts so that we can share the knowledge about you having an endocannabinoid system and that you are the true guide of your own health. And so that voice needs to be heard and that message needs to be received because everybody's born with an endocannabinoid system and most people don't even know that. So just understanding that can help build you confidence and returning to and creating better health for yourself. Because let's get real, we're only given one life and one health and no one lives them but you. So I believe we should all be in charge of that for ourselves.
This is such a powerful conversation, and I'm just thinking that somebody who's going to be listening to this, and many people will be listening to this, will realize that it doesn't matter where you are in the globe. It doesn't matter what age you are. You don't need to be at a 50 to, you know, bring about this mindset shift. You can be 20, you can be 70 or whatever. But if you want to, you can do it. And I just hope people, you know, kind of take that message and bring about that mindset shift. Let me now move on to the next question, which is about opportunities. And the question is, what opportunities have you said yes to or created for yourself that has shaped your path today? And let me start with Lisa.
Yes, it's such a powerful question because for me, most of my opportunities have really started with their dares to myself, right? Like I'll be like, yeah. And I also have a improv training in comedy. So I always say anything I answer is yes. And even if I'm turning something down, it's yes. And I find a nice way to do it. But I think a lot of the times the ones that have come for me have really, like the most recent one is I said yes to, I started doing a TV show, and that's really, it was basically like me pressing start without reading the instructions because I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then really it became this movement that I started to do with my then 5-year-old daughter. Now she's 7, but we got invited to do a TEDx talk because of it. So these, and now we're doing that talk together next week. So it's very exciting. But at the same time, I really think that the magic of play, like if you let yourself play full out, is that every yes creates really its own rewards that you can't even imagine that they happen. And when you fail, you learn, you reset, and then you play again. So you're constantly playing. And these opportunities really then shape you into something that wasn't perfectly planned, but you played into existence. And that's what I believe. It's really a power play. I played it into existence, and here we are.
Absolutely. So yes, we all can and should create our opportunities. And Sneha, what do you say to that?
Oh, 100%. And I think especially in a world like today's where I say this all the time, I think everybody's amazing. Honestly, everybody's amazing in their own ways. And there is no reason why somebody should not have an opportunity to do something. So if you see something come your way, scream and say yes, because somebody else is going to scream otherwise. So say that yes. If you don't know how to do it, it's still okay. You will figure it out. We're all amazing. We figure it out all the time. And I think one story that I'd like to share over here is when I was starting my career, so I've been working for 2.5 years now. Yeah, 2.5 years. So I've been a data analyst for 2.5 years. And I always knew that I wanted to do something in the space of technology. I love data. I love numbers. The only thing that made sense to me was numbers. I come from a family of like math people, and my brain only says yes to math. So I knew I was going to be going to do something in the space of technology and numbers. But I also always knew that there was a part of me that was creative. And there was a part of me that liked talking. And there was a part of me that liked desserts. Like there were so many parts of me, and they all have to exist. I don't want to have to do just one. So when I was just getting into university, I'd finished grade 12 and I was waiting for admission into university. I had the opportunity to be a part of this startup, which had just started. It was a COVID baby startup, and they were looking for ambassadors to just come on board and, you know, talk about what the startup does and just get more people to be a part of the movement that they were trying to build. And I was supposed to come on board just to spread the word. So I was possibly going to be talking to people. I was going to be posting on social media, stuff like this. Nothing to do with technology, nothing to do with numbers. But I said, okay, let's do it. I was, I think, maybe 18 at the time. And I was just still figuring a lot of things out, but I said yes to this. And honestly, I think that yes has been the foundation to so many yeses I've said after that. And I'm so glad I said that yes, because from that day on, there's never been a no I've said. I did social media. I did alliances and collaborations. I did, of course, I did a little bit of technology. I did operations and finance. I did project management. I did the weirdest, craziest things. But believe me when I tell you that today, as a data analyst at MIQ and as a soft skill trainer, each and every one of those guesses has played a role. I've gained invaluable amounts of skills from each and every one of them, and that shapes Neha to be who she is today. So anything and everything that comes your way, don't overthink what it's going to do to say, oh, how does it align with this part of my career and that element of who I want to be? Because everything always will play a role. So say that wild, loud yes to your opportunities.
Absolutely. And I think Shreya would have seen Sneha for the first time in that avatar, you know, 5 years ago. So let me move on to Shreya now on this question.
Yes. I mean, I love what Sneha said because that's who I've always been, right? I remember in college, except for, I think, the Philately Club, the French Club, and the Christian Students Association, I was part of all the clubs, right? I was some role or the other. I'd stay in college till late in the evening. You know, I was the cultural secretary. I'd just find time to do things that that most people wouldn't, because spending time doing things meant doing work. But I think I've showed up for every single work opportunity, however big or small. And I think I continue to do that because it's not the size or scale of the platform, it's the people that you touch. It's the people that you speak to. It's the experiences that you have. I remember I've always worked in mainstream marketing for 20 years, but about 10 or 12 years ago, I started working in DEI. I started taking on consulting roles in DEI. I started doing a lot of work in the CSR space, right? And here today I am doing work in the intersections of purpose and sustainability and DEI, right? With my marketing career almost behind me, while it's still something I love to do, my mainstream is now suddenly the opportunities that I showed up for, which did not serve me in any way if you were to look at my career journey, right? So I'm a very firm believer in doing where your heart really tugs you to go and flow with that, because you never know what's going to open up. And that's why, Sneha, I'm so excited for you. Look at all the amazing things that you do, right? I'm so inspired. So it's just that, showing up for things that tug your heart. I think the magic lies there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shreya. Amy, can we hear about your journey with opportunities?
Yes, of course. A life of yes is so essential in this world today. And I'm aligning with everything I'm hearing here. It's so wonderfully energetic and positive, because the reality is we've created the yes opportunities. We ourselves have created them. We have a vision. We see a need. And the key is collaborating. When I started my teaching career, I got into it in a non-traditional way. I was an intern who had not taught in front of a class before, and I had my education credits separately in the summertime prior to the opportunity to be an intern. It was really for people who were already in business and industry to get into a fast track into a teaching career, and it worked. And the thing is that I took jobs sometimes at 22 that nobody else wanted. People didn't want to be the high school journalism advisor. It was too public, too much responsibility, too much work, too many deadlines. But I found that when I aligned with other departments, when I brought other teachers into the fold with how, what are you doing in your classroom? You know, what's the music department doing now? And so on. Through all this networking and collaborative leadership, we managed, I say we as a high school, I spearheaded the first alumni association in that high school where the students could be in a seat listening to one these amazing graduates in all fields, theater, culinary, business, architecture, and they'd say, "Oh my goodness, this person once sat in this seat where I am now." And I could say yes to all these opportunities. And we also had the first parent-teacher student association, PTSA, where a student liaison was part of the group. So I want to echo the multi-generational, intergenerational Lisa having a TED talk with her daughter. How amazing and impactful is that going to be? Even the little children can lead us. So more intergenerational exposure and networking, and those yeses are just going to blossom, and we're going to co-create a world of yeses. And that's what we need so desperately today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Sam, I know how you decided to sing during Antakshari or some song competitions, but please tell us more. What have you created opportunities?
I'm not sure. I have even spoken to you about this, Nija. When you asked this question, I was thinking about things I could say. I'm a Gen 2 dentist. My dad and my mom both were dentists. They always thought I would start a clinic. I would want to start a clinic like they had. I, on the other hand, wanted to take up a job in a nice city, chill in my life, take leaves when I wanted to, right? Fast forward to January 2019, I moved to Bangalore within my company doing my dentist job. And within 10 days of moving here, I broke my ankle. I broke my ankle in two places. And I was on bed rest for about total bed rest for 3 months, partial bed rest for 6 months. And while I was on the while I was lying on bed, unable to do anything else, I realized that I had no idea why I was working for someone else, slogging while being restricted in the kind of work that I do. And as soon as I started working, I decided that I'm going to go hunt for places and start my own clinic. August 2019, we started Uru Dental. I think it is one of the hardest things I've been through because, being alone with your own mind, where your body is not there to support you, teaches you a lot about what you are made of. And I realize, I believe that if I would not have broken my ankle, I would not have been in a position, to be who I am today, to open my clinic, run a business. I think it's very important to create opportunities for you by just saying yes to that one nagging thought that stays in your head. We all know that one. We just don't say yes. That's about it.
Thank you. I think there's so much alignment between all of us here that it's like really powerful just in that self. But I think that don't be afraid to say that yes and allow yourself to say yes to anything that comes along because you just never know what will happen. And finding your voice and being able to do that is really huge. And one of the stories I would like to share is that, like, back in the 1980s, I said yes to something that felt a little like a fairy tale. And I was moving across country, stepping into a new role that never existed before, and helping laying the foundation for the very service we're using here now, calling networking technology. And it was really hard to convince people, businesses, because back in the 80s, we had these big rooms full of big mainframe computers. We didn't have laptops, PCs, anything like this at all. And so, trying to convince businesses that we were going to connect their computers to another building, talk to another country, talk to another business was like I was handing them a tin can with a wire and a little string between it and saying, "We're going to hook your computers up and they can talk." It was kind of like learning about the telephone. And so, it was really hard to sell that. And I find myself in that same situation today, teaching people about the endocannabinoid system. It's a system we didn't discover till the 1988, till like 1988. But why don't you know about it? It's because we don't talk about it. We don't discuss it. And so I feel like I'm still in that same event, trying to explain something that is real and will happen. And this lovely technology that we have created with the internet has given me the ability to have a voice and share this because I have immune deficiency and I cannot travel. I can't be around people. But this has given me a platform, and I never thought at the time when I was helping to create that technology that it would give me this opportunity at this age. So if I hadn't said yes to that, I don't know if we'd all be here or not, probably, but I like to know that I played a part in that because I did say yes.
So wonderful. A yes can, you know, make lives go through, and like Steve Jobs says, right? I mean, it's basically we can connect the dots backwards, you know, but not in the current. And that's the power of all of this reflection that we have. I want a very quick answer to this question, but it's a very important question. So I don't want to, you know, kind of not ask. Very quickly, what molds or stereotypes have you felt pressure to conform to, and how have you broken away from them? And can we start with Dr. Sam?
Yeah, Neeja. I think gazillion molds. And I think that's true for everyone. What I ended up realizing was the only mold I needed to break was my own, because I care too much about what others were thinking. The realization that others are also thinking about themselves like you are thinking about yourself has been a game changer. So, yeah.
Thank you. Debbie?
This is interesting because I grew up in a world where I could climb trees like a boy, build forts like a boy. But then my dad would always tell me I couldn't be an architect because that was a man's job. And little surprisingly, I ended up in a man's job working in the networking industry. There were only two women in that whole organization. Learning that someone might say something that might not resonate with you, and just know that you need to follow your own path because you belong, you are important, and you matter.
Shreya?
I so resonate with what everybody's saying. I think every voice matters. I think we often forget that there's nobody else like us in the world. The unique combination of what we're born with, the combination of the ancestral DNA we hold, the lineage we have, the parents we have, even twins aren't alike, right? Because every experience is different. And I think breaking that stereotype makes you so free because you're not caught up by somebody else's idea or perception of you. And you're just building and creating and crafting. And what I've also resonated with and realized over time as I do this is the amount of love that pours into your life. And today we were just reflecting and we were saying, when you're just genuine and show up without fear, when you show up as you are, when you show up with truth and love and kindness and empathy and honesty, I think people just embrace all of you. And that just shows the beautiful people around you. So I think breaking stereotypes is a powerful thing because then you don't have to conform to anybody's ideals of you.
So beautiful. Amy?
I found at 22, when I was trying to find my first teaching job in the internship program from February of senior year to July, I persisted, I was tenacious, and I fought the stereotype, and I was blatantly told, well, you'll come aboard, you'll be here maybe a year, you'll get pregnant, you'll get married, not that order, but they said, you'll get your MRS degree, so we're looking for something different. And I was hit with that right from the get-go, and there was no, secrecy about it, and it was a tough road to hoe, and I just used that and turned it into initiative and how I presented myself and proved that I am capable and that I wasn't going to, you know, go have a baby right away. And I saw that I could then do programs with the whole school on breaking the barriers, addressing gender roles and, leadership and even physical appearance, we did amazing things. And it came from that fight against that stereotype that was very harshly leveled against me.
So, I'm just, feeling like saying that for me, it's not as if I've completely broken away. It still comes into my mind, there is still that pressure. I mean, some inner voice which says, Nirja, I mean, do you really need to speak? And should you speak? And is it all right to speak? Because that's how I was, kind of brought up to say, oh, you don't have to speak and, just kind of accept. And so that conditioning or that stereotype of women should not speak and can't speak from the era that I come from is a lot of pressure. And of course, today I have broken away, but I have to say that whether we call it the imposter or whatever, still shows its, face in and say, yeah, really? And I just have to put it down. I just have to calm it and say, it's okay. What's the worst that can happen? I'm going to say it. And that's the one that I'm still fighting, but I will keep fighting. Lisa.
Yeah, I would have to say to be respected, you must be very serious, which it's like somebody took gave me this wrong controller that I don't want. So I threw it away. And fun isn't fluff, it's a strategy. And play helps us problem solve. Everyone knows this. Laughter disarms resistance. And it goes back to the authenticity because that builds trust faster than one of those LinkedIn endorsements you get. So instead of playing by the series equals smart rule book, I tossed it out and made my own version. And spoiler, mine comes with more confetti canyons, so much more fun. Yeah.
Well said, Lisa. Sneha, very quickly on this question. Let us hear from you.
I think one thing that I've realized as early as I could, and I'm so glad I did, is we've always been told that think about the other person, think about what they're going to think about how they're going to feel, and you're going to say something which they're not going to like, or they're going to be hurt by it. So be very careful, choose your words right, all of that. At the end of the day, everyone's thinking about themselves. Everyone's selfish, and it's cool to be selfish because we're supposed to be thinking about ourselves because we're all trying to survive in this big bad world. So be kind, be empathetic, but first to yourself before you do it to anybody else. Because if you're going to keep beating yourself up, everyone else is also going to beat you up. It's not serving anybody's purpose. So be kind to yourself. Be empathetic and don't let somebody else tell you that, just because you're not this and you're not that, you're not going to make it. I've always been told that I'm 20 and 21 and 22 and that just you're the youngest in the room and people are not going to listen to you. I walked into rooms where I was 23 and people had 23 years of experience working in an industry and they've chosen to listen to me because I had something to offer. So stop holding yourself back just because somebody else said it. Be kind to yourself. And then be kind to the rest of the world too.
Thank you, Sneha. And I think we all can go on and on and on. There's so much to talk and so much to discuss and so much to offer to the world through all our, individual voices. But we need to close this also. So this here comes the closing question. If your words today could echo across generations and around the globe, which is it is definitely going to do, what message of hope or opportunity would you want women everywhere to carry forward? And let's start with Lisa.
Oh, I'd say stop waiting to earn your turn at the end of the game. You're in the game. Your voice is the joystick. It's how you play, not the trophy at the end, because who really wants that? And the best part, you don't need anyone's permission to pick it up. So I hope that all women everywhere treat life less like a test and more like an improv game. Say yes and laugh at the bloopers and keep passing the mic. Because when we played boldly together, we don't just change the rules, we change the whole game.
Thank you, Lisa. Let's hear from Debbie.
I would love to echo to the globe and around the world that you matter, you are important, and if you don't explore, you'll never know. The world needs you.
Amy?
It's so simple. Empathy is the path to joy. We must create joy every day, every minute that we can, smile at people, be curious about them. And most of all, we have to celebrate one another. I celebrate all the wins of all the panelists here today. And in celebrating each other across our communities and cultures, this is a gift in our lives.
Wonderful. Dr. Sam.
I believe those who bring sunshine to the lives of others cannot keep it from themselves. So if there is one thing you have to chase in life, it should be happiness. And instead of others, start with yourself.
Shreya.
I think you matter, your voice matters, your presence in this world matters, and you deserve and are worthy of every opportunity that you'd like to create for yourself. Stop looking for it outside of you. The magic rests within. Go inwards and unlock that magic to make your life happen for you in the most fantastic, flamboyant way, unapologetically possible.
So beautiful. Sneha.
I think it's do wacky stuff, take risks, don't hold yourself back. You never know what's leading onto your next amazing opportunity. So don't just say that it's, oh, I want to be on the TEDx stage and I'm going to keep chasing the TEDx stage. If you get five smaller stages before that, get on it. Do the craziest stuff that you can do because that's what's taking you where you need to be. And in the process, if you're not making it, remember to love yourself. Remember that even when you don't realize it, somebody out there is looking up at you and saying, damn, she's amazing. I want to do what she does. So for that one person out there, that one woman, that one little girl, choose to do it because somewhere, someday, someone will come up to you and say, you've really impacted my life.
Wow, everyone said everything, and I'm just going to say one thing as we close. Care a damn, right? And in a positive way, okay? Care a damn because nobody's going to do anything for you. Only you can do things that you want to do for yourselves and for the world. So care a damn about everyone and just go and do that. And thank you. I mean, this was such a powerhouse of a conversation, and I'm sure it is going to bring about the smallest and the biggest transformations in people's minds. And I'm so thrilled to have brought all of you together for this beautiful conversation. Thank you. Till the next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Echo, empowering conversations of hope and opportunity. Your comments and questions fuel our discussions. Connect with us at Echo Together. That's Echo, the number two, together on social media. And don't hesitate to drop your questions in our inbox at echotogether@gmail.com. Until we meet again, take care, keep echoing, and remember, your voice matters.